What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Salty Soul. So I bought a $17,000 desk on the internet, on Wayfair. So, you know, the contents of it was amazing. I just want to, you know, say what's up to you, because I got to go build my shelf. I'll be right back.
I get it. Tim brought it up. What do cabinets selling for ridiculous amounts of money, $12,000, some of them, have to do with child trafficking, sex trafficking? Stay tuned and find out. This rabbit hole is about to get deeper. All right. Also, Trump commuted the sentence for Roger Stone, and now Roger Stone is a free man. And the hysterical media jumped on the story like piranhas on a feeding frenzy. Have you bought your can of Goya beans yet? You might want to go now, because that stuff is flying off the shelves. We'll tell you why. We're also going to have a special guest by the name of Asun Benninger, who's going to tell her experience as a Latina, a conservative Latina who supports Trump. We'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
TheSaltyShow.com.
All right, Heidi.
Yeah.
How are you doing? I heard you sniffling. Are you getting sick? Don't lie.
No. Yeah, you better get that COVID shit out of my house.
What's going on?
Love it on the wall.
Oh my God. I'm going to go into your bedroom and all of your.
Stop it. Jesus.
I'm just making sure that I help hook a family friend up.
Oh my God. All right. Get to the news. All right. I don't want to hear about you trying to give me coronavirus.
What's going on in the news?
I just want to say that I think we should all move. Are you ready? To Eager, Arizona.
Why?
E-A-G-G-A-R.
Yeah, like being eager? Yeah.
Arizona.
Why?
Yes. So their mayor published a letter out to his citizens about how he and his town were going to handle the riots and the COVID stuff and the masks and everything. And I'm going to read just a couple of sentences, because you'll get the gist rather quickly.
All right.
Dear citizens of Eager, over the past several weeks, I have been asked repeatedly what the town of Eager plans to do about COVID-19, masks, visitors, riots, etc. It is somewhat alarming how many expect and almost invite a more drastic infringement of their freedoms. My response from the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic has been that we will err on the side of freedom. When riots began to riddle the country and our governor took the drastic measure of a statewide curfew, again, I maintained that we will err on the side of freedom. Can you get the gist? I can keep going. And have received numerous phone calls from reporters, citizens, visitors, and complete strangers to our area asking why the town of Eager has not canceled upcoming rodeos and 4th of July parade and celebrations. Again, my response is that Eager will err on the side of freedom. What authority does the town of Eager or any other state or local government have to infringe on the rights of healthy, law-abiding citizens?
Thank you.
He goes on and on. It's quite lengthy.
What's the population of Eager, and where is it?
Like 20.
I don't know.
Exactly. So speaking of Arizona, I got a beef with Arizona. Okay, this mayor of Phoenix, this dum-dum, she goes out and masses there. Oh my God, I'm ordering the freight trucks like they did in New York, because the morgue ran out of space for dead people from COVID. She got caught in a lie.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
She went out. Oh my God, we need it. Bitch, ain't nobody dying. I mean, people are dying in Phoenix, but not by that, you know, the way you need a frozen trucks and stuff like that. Stop the drama.
Yeah.
Well, take the mask off.
Is Arizona still leading in cases? Because I got a news update today that apparently Florida just shot up or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Florida had like Arizona over 15,000 positive tests running in one day.
But, but, here's, the,
Nobody mentions the mortality rate. That's the thing. It's like people are just throwing numbers out there. It's like, anyway, moving on. Go ahead. What else you got?
Well, wait a minute. Like with Connor last week. That's right. Because we found out after you left, Saul. So last week, Connor had more happen with his whole positive coronavirus test. And the doctors signed a release for him to go back to work because he'll test positive for coronavirus up to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're testing coronavirus and it doesn't specify the strain. Yeah. So you can have any one of the hundreds of thousands of strains. And
it's not the COVID-19.
The 19 strain.
It's becoming all bullshit. It's all political now. Yeah, yes,
it is.
The ones that are getting... the problem is the ones that are actually in the hospital are the ones you need to be focused on. But the rest of this, it's all bullshit. Yeah. I'm sorry. In Florida, they came out and they're like, oh yeah, X amount got it, tested positive. But then the rest of them are probable. The other ones are from based on contact tracing. Like, oh, if one person got it and they were at a protest and they or at a bar and one person and it's a 300 person occupancy and they times it by so many people. So that adds to the thousands. You're not jumping 15,000 in one day. Sorry, you're not doing it. It doesn't happen like that.
And then, of course, you have the whole one. You know, Connor was tested three times.
Yeah.
So that was a count of three against the numbers as well.
Yeah. We still have less than 2,000. We still have less than 2,100 people dead. Yeah. Okay.
So 2,100
people. We have less than 2,100 deaths.
Oh, in Arizona.
In Arizona.
Oh.
Florida has less than, based on all that. It's all bullshit. As long as less people are dying, that's all that matters.
That number is so minuscule. It's so minuscule that it shouldn't be even in the radar. That's the thing. It's like, what's the population of Arizona relative to the population of Arizona? Why is everybody losing their minds? I'm serious. It is.
Yeah. We have a bunch of people from California. Why are they losing their jobs?
Thank
Why
you.
Why are they destroying our country for that?
I got an answer for you. And I've been saying this from day one. Arizona, Texas, Florida are all swing states now. So when California is spiking like crazy, nobody's talking about California because, California, it's okay. But in the swing states, no, it's because Republican governors handled it wrong, blah, 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 following Trump. They were able to base it on, Trump's guidelines is killing people. Right.
Whatever. Right. It's bullshit.
What else you got going on? Your original question, there's 4,800 people in Eager.
4,800. Well, there's about to be a few more. That's where I think
eastern side of the state next to New Mexico.
I am kind of bummed out, though. I didn't realize that they were doing like a big 4th of July parade and having the big and rodeos and all that. And I mean, I would have had fun to go take off for a few days.
Yeah, I'm not driving.
I'm sure it would have been
cool. I had fun in Scottsdale setting fireworks off. Next. Yeah. What's the next article?
Okay. So keeping family in prayers today. We had a Navy ship in San Diego caught fire. As of right now, 21 sailors and civilians are hospitalized.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like anybody has been killed or that anything is major. But there was a explosion on a Navy ship in the yard there in San Diego today, this morning.
Is it foul play or do they know yet what?
They have not. When I first read this and I was looking really quick just to see if this had any updates, but they're... Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be anything posted yet as to what caused it.
JFK.
The biggest part of the getting everybody checked out is these 21 people with smoke inhalation. So, but it took quite a few hours. I don't know what was on that ship to burn the way that it did, but it's pretty impressive.
Let's pray it wasn't foul play and hopefully.
I agree.
I'm going to jack one of your headlines. I'm going to take the last one. Okay.
Now, wait a minute. I have two more one will be kind of quick.
Yeah. Hurry up.
And then the other one, I got to. Jesus.
Why is he like this?
Dick.
We got a lot to get to.
Rapper Lil Marlo died.
Oh, God. Nobody
in Atlanta
shit.
Was shot. Okay.
Nobody gets shit.
Jesus. Wait. Was it L-I-L?
L-I-L. Lil.
I have no idea. No idea.
Okay. I didn't know. Just pulling. All right. So we'll just ignore that one. Jesus. Florida man crashes into a church, sets it on fire with parishioners inside. Now, what's interesting about this is he's wearing a mask. He's in his mugshot. He's wearing a mask down around his face underneath. But This is one of three Catholic churches over the weekend that have been caught fire and vandalized, seriously vandalized. And they haven't fully come out and say arson in all three. Obviously, this one with the Florida man, it was. He crashed his car in and then proceeded to dump 2 gallons of gasoline and light it on fire in the church, killing four.
Oh, my God.
That's not terrorism. That's peaceful protest.
And then there was another one in California. Church, a Catholic church. So, and then I can't remember where the other one was.
Yeah, there's been like 7 cities where Catholic churches have been attacked.
Yeah, this sounds weekend? Like this is organized.
Oh, I just found it with the three.
I think this is organized. There's something, an underlying current here that's moving this. And you know what? Like as usual, the media is not making any hysteria about it, you know, because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the
narrative. They're not. They're definitely not talking about how serious.
And I got one last headline.
Okay.
What's going on, Tim?
Very proud of my former home state finally stepping up. The silent majority is finally getting the fuck out there and protesting. All Blue Lives Matter. They're defending supporting the police.
Yeah.
They are supporting the police. They are defending the police in thousands now. Wow. And they went down all of the Long Island, Rockaway, Bayside, Manhattan. They went down the Trump Tower, and it was a standoff between BLM and.
Let me ask you this, because the news media is reporting that Cuomo's got the highest poll rate. What all this bullshit? Let me ask you this: you have your ear on the ground because you have family out there and all that, and you talk to. Well, how do people feel about de Blasio? How do people feel about Cuomo? You know, are people going to
nobody?
What are they saying?
Nobody I know likes de Blasio. A lot of people think Cuomo did a good job. But then when you mention the nursing home, they go, yeah, that's not good. But I'm like, he didn't do a good job then. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't say he did a good job if he killed all, signed that executive order to put all the elderly in the nursing homes. And
I will say, I will say,
so he killed them. I think they're lying about it. I think they're lying about the polls. I know a lot of Italians like him because he's Italian, but I think they're starting to realize like he's a cuck. So,
that's terrible.
All right, let's get down to the meat and potatoes here. So
fucking hate that guy.
Earlier this week, the CEO of Goya Foods joins Donald Trump. In the South Lawn, and they basically were talking about an initiative to help Hispanic organizations bring help to the Hispanic community. Basically, essentially, what he says is that we are lucky that we have President Donald Trump in the office, and the social media they went crazy after this, and they started a boycott Goya movement. And so I recently added Tim to my family and friends. We have a Instagram group chat going on. When this story broke, we were obviously like conservative Hispanics, you get upset, you're angry because, like really we can't have an opinion that differs. We can't have our own opinion. We have to fall in line with, the Democrats. I don't understand when people came up with this idea that all Hispanics have to be Democrat. Okay. But so we go on the Goya Instagram page and they had posted something, some PR after that whole boycott shit came out. And the president or the CEO of Goya, Robert Unanu, comes out and says, you know what? I'm not going to back down. I meant what I said. And he basically stood his ground, and people again, the crowds were like, oh, and everywhere the Spanish news media, you saw it on all these celebrities coming out saying, oh, well, you know what? We need to boycott and all this and all that. So we go on the Instagram of Goya after they had it. And then you start seeing all these posts of people saying, oh, I've been eating your products for years. It's a shame that you support a man who puts kids in cages. Well, my friends, we decided to go on this Q Army digital warfare. So we start, they got what I mean? Like, We did. So we start, you know, commenting and saying, you know what? And like proud Latinos, you know what I mean? Like, we are not going to stay silent. And like Tim says, I think the silent majority, and this is what Trump has done. I think Trump is the first person, the first president in modern history who has kind of defined those lines and said, you know what? Yes, we've stayed quiet for a long time, you know, because the second you come out as a conservative, oh, why do you hate yourself? Why do you hate? It's like, no. You know what I mean? Like, we're conservative and we have these values and this is why we support it. It has nothing to do with being racist. It has nothing to do with hating our own race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we go on this and we're doing screenshots. Oh, my God, look at this debate that I'm having. And literally, dude, well, a day later, you go back to that post. And even if you go there right now, like, there's tons of Hispanics who are saying, we support you, you know, we're conservative, you know, and I think that there's a red wave coming, man, because I never saw this during Bush. I never saw this even when Mitt Romney ran, that fucking backstabber. I don't even want to bring him up. But, you know, and I've been into politics for a long time, you know, back freaking when first George Bush was the first time I started, you know, coming into politics. And I've never seen this. And maybe social media plays a role in this, but there was never this movement of Hispanics who are now being vocal, who are now supporting the president. And I love it. I am a great fan of this. And hell yeah. So I want to bring on a guest. And you know what, Tip, because you initiated the conversation. So I'll let you talk about who she is and we'll go from there.
All right. So, you know, we want to bring in Asun. We met Asun through Instagram. I know, like, you know, I went on a rampage, you know, a couple months ago, like adding people, you know, just, you know, friend requesting, because, you know, we're trying to, you know, build the following to the show. Because, I mean, you know, trying to find other, you know, reach out to other conservatives, whether they listen to the show or not, I don't care at this point. But it's just, you know, making sure that everybody knows, you know, finding the people that you share common ideology with, you know, common, yep, you know, common, you know, whatever it is, you know, conservatism. All right.
Yep.
And, you know, and, you know, throughout the last couple months, you know, like, you know, we've posted a bunch of things, you know, memes, videos, you know, a bunch of comments, and then we've, you know, we've exchanged private messages, you know. So one of the things that caught our attention was, you know, we were going back and forth in private messaging, and I forget what video it was. And she mentioned that, you know, she's like, you know, I immigrated to the U.S. from Peru. Mm-hmm. You know, I escaped communism. You know, I've seen it firsthand what communism and socialism can do to a country. You know, mm-hmm, I love this country. We can't allow it to happen. And me and Saul were like, holy shit. You know, and we would, mm-hmm, you know, because that's a very similar story to Saul's, yep, right? Yep. So yep, to give a little background for you, Asun, Saul, he's from
Guatemala.
And you know, his mom back in the 80s when late 70s early 80s,
yep,
when communism was coming into Guatemala and they were having, mm-hmm, the revolution there, you, yep, know, he's a family of, you know, like 500 people. So no, he's got a so, big
welcome
family.
To the he's show soon. Yeah. And we're you know, we wanted to talk about, you know, your experience as a Latina. First of all, if you want to introduce yourself, how long have you been here? A little backstory so that the audience knows who you are.
Well, hello, guys. Thank you again for having me here. And yep, I truly joined speaking with Tim. And I really, when I first found your profile on Instagram, I started to follow because I saw some key things that always keep my eye on your feed. So, yeah. Well, I'm originally from Peru, and I'm pretty new in the country. We moved back in 2016.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, legally. Mm-hmm. And
great. Welcome.
I had to say that because back in college, I always received this backlash from professors because I'm brown skinned. They think I always have to say that I'm proud to be legal, and I make fun of myself, and I know they don't, the agenda they have in college, they don't like to hear that. But anyway, yeah, and we moved in here. We moved to Texas back in 2016, and
so you you graduated from SMU, right? The Southern Correct. Methodist University, yes. And so that's what brought you to the United States. You took some education out here.
I finished college, a lawyer and journalist from Peru, and awesome. I wanted to pursue my career in political management and national security. So I decided to stay in Texas, but I saw that things were not going the way that I wanted. So I remained in for a while, finished my Master of Law in SMU. And while I was there, I engaged in the GOP and was a very fascinated experience because I saw by firsthand things that I didn't want to see. And I understood why the Republican Party could be potentially in danger. Mm. So, and as a Hispanic, I tried to help as much as I could, but I had seen some red flags that I didn't like it.
So you want to mention some of those red flags that you saw that you felt that made the party be in danger?
Yeah, I know maybe my boss will watch this on my Instagram, but to be honest, this type of feedback needs to be given.
Yeah.
And I think the Republican Party is in danger right now because you're sleeping with the enemy. So
what do you mean by that? Sleeping with what? Who's the enemy?
The Dems.
The Democratic Party.
Yeah, absolutely. You mm-hmm. cannot try to you cannot set an example if you are doing the opposite. So you claim that you have principles and values, but when you close your doors, you are doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. So we have excellent managers back then, but I seen them in a lower level. People were not enthusiastic about fighting for back in 2016. They were giving you my managers wanted to do the small job and they want the volunteers to do the bigger job. Mm-hmm. So if you're not motivated, if you're not willing to fight mm-hmm. for your own country, who else is going to do it?
Exactly. I agree with that statement so much. Let me ask you this. So I remember during the 2012, and I know you weren't in the country back then, and I don't know if you were apprised to the politics that were going on back then, but I remember I was a vehement Mitt Romney supporter, you know, and because the alternative, you know, 4 more years of Barack Obama, I couldn't stomach it. And I was, again, you know, if I go back to my posts in social media, you know, I was supporting Mitt Romney. And now, you know, forward 6-7 years later, and I'm just shaking my head at this guy that I supported. And I think, like you said, some of these guys, they are in bed with some of these Democrats. And to me, like you said, we have to draw very defined lines and fight for conservative values. Because when you have this guy who represented the Republican Party just a few years ago, doing what he's doing. And, you know, we've talked about it in the show. I think he's a backstabber. And I don't see him getting reelected. I really hope not. But I think we share that in a sense, you know, and I tell this story all the time. When I was first started hanging out with Jeremy and, you know, or we started talking about politics, I was at his house and I was watching the Trump presidential debates. And this is during the Republican presidential debates. And I just couldn't stomach Trump. I just couldn't do it. I was like, this guy is so bombastic. I don't like his personality. And I just couldn't do it. And now when I look at it, I'm like, there has never, I mean, maybe Ronald Reagan, but there has never been a president in modern history who has stood firm with conservative values stronger than I believe Trump has. And this is a guy who came out of nowhere. He was not involved in politics. Nobody knew what he stood for, right? I didn't. And then here he is. And so let me ask you this. So you said you came here, you started volunteering for the Republican Party.
Correct.
Have you always been a conservative, even when you were in Peru?
Of course, yeah. My family has a military background and both my parents are Catholics, Roman Catholics. And we always believe in being following the values and principles of being conservative.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what it means to fight for your rights, fight for an opportunity back, even back in Peru, I was shut down in my own college when I created the first organization of female conservatives in the Amazon of Peru. University discovered I was doing that, so they decide to magically disappear my credits out of the system, and they start blackmailing me. And and when I start fighting, I was in halfway my program of law. I told them, you are not going to do that to me. So I sued my university, and it went to about 2 or 3 years before after I graduated. I already managed to create my organization. We were competing nationally. We were traveling internationally. But even so, it was very hard to come to step out of the closet as a conservative.
Yes.
Even in South America. And I'm sure you do understand what I mean. It is, they call you that, oh no, you are too being conservative. They don't really appreciate the term conservative. They tend to like the word pro-life, because if you call yourself conservatives, like you are too old-fashioned, and then they try to create a narrative that confuse the young people. And I think
my mom tells us a story of she said, you know, that my dad would always be listening to Che Guevara and Fidel Castro, you know. Because these guys made, you know, they did a tour in Guatemala, you know, because that's what they did. They fooled the indigenous people, told them that they were going to do this and they were going to give them back their land. You know, everything that you hear the Democratic Party talking about today. And this is what people don't understand. And I think me and you and a lot of Hispanics who flee or who move out of those countries to kind of understand. It's like, guys, this is the same conversations that Latin America heard. You know, oh, you know, the colonialist, the imperialist, you know, this is how they talk. And my mom used to say, you know, your dad would say, talk about the Yankee and how he wanted to take over Latin, you know, Latin America and this and that. We need to fight this imperialism. This is the mentality. And that's why, you know, when I see people out there destroying statues, bringing shit down, you know, this happened in Latin America, guys. This happened in Latin America.
Absolutely.
And now.
You're right. I just to set an example, in Peru, we have the MRTA. I don't know if you're aware of the Tupac Amaru Revolutionary Movement. And also we have Shining Path. And I was talking with a friend of mine about an hour ago about what I see in Washington, D.C., which is Black Lives Matter. What I see is a combination of Shining Path and Tupac Amaru Revolutionary Movement. I see that these guys have a well-structured organization, that they're calling themselves a regular citizens, but to me, they are not. They're just terrorists. And
it's they talk the same vocabulary. They use the same term.
Right.
And it's so. And this is why I feel that Latin Americans need to have this perspective. I want to show you guys a video, and it's a pretty long video, and just bear with me here because it's worth watching. This came out, I think, either earlier today or yesterday. And it's this guy who, a former Cuban who migrated to the United States. He is the owner, CEO of Sunshine Gasoline Distributions. Did you guys get to watch this? Have you guys heard about this?
No. I heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
His name is Maximo Alvarez. And he talks about, he's in a, basically a panel with Donald Trump and a lot of Hispanic leaders, you know, within the communities. And he gives a, oh my God, like when I listen to this guy talk, it motivates me because I just want to have you watch this. It is worth the 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes long, but I think it's worth it. And before I play this, Tim, did you want to add anything to, I know you were holding your tongue.
No, before. What I was going to say is, you know, with everything going on, right? So I remember when we were down in Miami and
yes,
we were staying at our Airbnb and our, our host.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was one of the helpers, but
Cubano.
He was Cubano, right? So he's from Cuba. He, you know, he fled Cuba to the U.S. and he was saying the exact same thing. He's like, we didn't like Obama. We heard this. Everything Obama was telling everybody, he's like, we heard this before, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And when you see a lot of Cubans in Miami, they're all driving down, you know, South Beach and with that, you know, they're doing their Trump rallies and everything in support. And people like, what's going on? Yeah. They fled communism. When you see communism and socialism knocking at your door and you're going, oh, hell no. I left that shit for a reason.
Thank you.
I don't want it here.
Yeah.
If this country was so bad, right? If this country was so bad, why does everybody want to come here?
Thank you.
If this country was so racist and prejudiced, and you know what? This country's not, you know, it's got its faults, but you know what? It's still the freest country out of anywhere.
Thank you.
You know what? You can go destroy statues. You can't do that at other places. I'm not saying destroying a statue is good. You know, like Nancy Pelosi says that people will do whatever they feel like, but you can protest for whatever reason, whether right or wrong. You can't do that everywhere. You can't. They you know, go to China and say, oh, I hate the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good luck. They did in Hong Kong. They took it over. You know what I mean?
All right. So let me play this again. It's 9 minutes and 46 seconds long, but it's worth every minute. And again, this inspires me because it gives me hope that there's a lot more people who are refusing to remain silent to this bullshit.
Oh, I did start watching this and I saw it was 10 minutes. I didn't want to watch it.
No, let me.
At the time.
This guy. Hold on.
At the time, I was in the middle of watching something else.
He was pooping.
Right. Oh, I was watching The Sopranos.
All right, let me listen to this. It's worth it.
We have a guest. Otherwise, I was going to make another comment.
No, are you guys ready?
No.
All right, here we go.
Look at the people in this table. Look at our backgrounds. Just think that in 1961, as a 13-year-old, by myself, in my way to Spain, I wasn't even coming here. I arrived in this great country. And almost 60 years later, I'm sitting next to the President of the United States, talking about the American dream. The only country in the world, no other country in the world, that you can start a business from the trunk of your car. And within a very few years, with hard work, commitment, and all the core values that we learn from this very culture of ours, we can become very important to our future. We can become those people who make the next generation better than the one before. This is the only country. Why do you think you had to close the borders? Because everybody in the world wants to come over here. Nobody's ever forced to come over here. We come over here, in my case, because my parents chose that I would not be indoctrinated by the communist country, by the totalitarian country, by the totalitarian regime. They don't educate children. Absolutely not. And this is something that we need to understand. What is happening in our backyard today, I experienced as an 11-year-old. I remember vividly all the promises that a guy named Castro gave and how 99% of the people swallow the pill. It took many years later, after I read somebody named Saul Alinsky, that I realized that all those people were nothing but useful idiots. Mm-hmm. I remember Castro while in the mountains being interviewed and asked if he was a communist. He went crazy. I dare you, he says. Católico, apostólico, y romano. I'm a Roman Catholic. Educated by the Jesuits, he was. How dare you? We even have a priest in the mountains. We used to have a priest in the mountains. I remember I was the Marys brothers, Christopher Columbus here, for those of you know. And I remember the brothers, the Marys brothers, used to send young kids to the mountains because it was the second coming of our Lord. He was going to save Cuba. I remember how he promised to the farmers, to the Guajiros, that you're going to own the land. I remember all the promises that we hear today about free education and free health care and free land. And my God, no freedom. But he never said that until after he was in power, got rid of all the police, got rid of all the military, been there for the last 60 years and counting. And he destroyed each and everyone who helped him, the Catholic Church. Everybody. And what do I know that? Because I happened to come to this country with the very last 9 cloister nuns from Convento Santa Clara, because he had taken over the convent. And I was on my way to Spain. I wasn't even coming here because I was going to join my brother, who my parents had already sent a few months before, because he was in the age where the government will take him for indoctrination purposes. My dad, who had experienced the same thing coming from Spain at the turn of the century, running away, not from socialism, communism. He knew better. I remember when he used to tell my mom, Fefa, this SOB is a communist. My mother says, look, how can you say that? He's Catholic. Look, he's worse. He got a rosary beads all over his neck. It just so happened that when I was in my way to Spain to meet my brother, I was going to go to the Marys brothers in La Coruña, España. Same brothers here at Christopher Columbus, by the way. My brother died. And I was kept in this country. Greatest blessing I ever had. But imagine what happened to mom and dad. One day, you lose both kids. This is a family who had never been involved in politics. My father came at age 18 from Spain, running from communists. By himself, never went back. After a long, long life of sacrifice, when he was about to enjoy the fruit of his labors, just like a president that is helping us today, because he could have been just having a good time, one of his many beautiful golf courses, I know. But yet he gave up enjoying the fruit of his labors to do this. So did my dad, that's why I love you. Exactly the same. So when they're about to do that, from one day to the next, they end up in this country with the shirt that he was wearing on his back and did a maximum. Have been here already 4 years. But thank God for Pedro Pan. Talking about socialism, Catholic Church, 14,000 kids who came like me in this country without parents. And we were provided an opportunity. This is what makes our country great. They didn't give me free nothing. They gave me the opportunity. That is the most valuable thing in the world. Now, when I said they didn't give me any free something, please understand that at 13 years old, I had to be provided with a home. I had to be provided with food and an education. That is socialism. That's Americanism. That's the America that these people are trying to destroy today by using funny terms like socialism. They're not. They're communist. Don't ever forget that. I know our president understands that because he knows. He's been all over the world, and you're surrounded with great people, very loyal people. And we have our back. I remember the first time I gave a little speech about something like this, to tell him about I came from Cuba and all, blah, blah, blah. I remember this is around October 2016. I thought you were a little crazy for the sacrifice you were about to take, but I predicted that we were going to elect you in November and I was going to see you in the White House in January. Thank you very much. Because of the situations right now, I cannot give you a hug otherwise. Thank you very much. And I'm going to leave you with one last thing. Never forget about my dad, who only had a sixth-grade education, but I think he was the greatest philosopher I ever met. He used to tell us how lucky he was because he was able to come from Spain to Cuba. And then he came from Cuba to the United States. And he saw me graduate from college, and that was the biggest prize he ever had. And he said, don't lose this place because you're not going to be as lucky as me. Because if you lose this place, you have no place to go. So with that, please keep that in mind. And please, people, explain that to our young people who are demonstrating out there. Don't be useful idiots. Please understand what's happening in our country. See what happens to our parents and see what is happening to America today.
If that doesn't move you, man, that's a great... just a great conversation that speech or topic that he covered. And I want to say this because he touched on a lot of points. There are many Hispanics who understand the importance of defending this constitutional republic that we have. Like Abraham Lincoln said, this is the last best hope of earth. And like Maximo just said, don't be useful idiots. And like many immigrants that flee communism, his patriotism is stronger than many of these snot-filled Ivy League brats who have no firsthand experience of the atrocities that this poisonous ideology brings. Communism always, always pipes a tune, seductive, to the worst traits of human character. Sloth, envy, lust for power. It offers excuses to our shortcomings and instead blames some oppressive group. And it's a calamity that its insidious roots are finding fertile ground in leftist movements today in America, in academia, and now in the halls of Congress and local legeslatures.
The boardroom, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. We must not let them gain any more ground. Because after America, like he said, there is no other place to run to. Conservatives for years have made the mistake of accepting that the school system, colleges have been lost to the cesspool of collectivism, socialism, Marxism. But as Lincoln said, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. That's why we need to gain back the ground. And not only that, we also need to participate in the modern day forums, in the modern day town square. Let's not make the mistake to give up that ground of social media to the leftists. They scare us by telling us that it's a lost cause. No. Let's face them.
Not.
I always say this. We need to fight in their territory, on their grounds. We need to fight the good fight. It has become digital warfare. And if you've been under a rock these past couple weeks, months, a lot of shit is coming out. And maybe we can go into that, Tim. We'll talk about Wayfair. But and this is going to shock many people. And I sent the video, and maybe I'll show it right now. Because I'm on TikTok, and I know you guys say, you know, TikTok's Chinese, whatever. I have this thing where I say, you know what? Again, let's fight on their grounds. Because if we cede ground to these people, they're just going to go for the next thing. and the next thing and the next thing. And we will find ourselves.
And before you play that video, okay, you see it. Every person who has taken a knee to this mob, okay, to this bullshit, this Marxist crap that everybody's seeing, everybody that's taken a knee, what's happening? They're getting turned on. Because now what happens is you take a knee, they own you. What have we always, you've always learned in life. The people who take a knee and concede to, you know, the higher, the bigger power, they lose. So when you see anybody take a knee, you just gave all ground to the mob, because now they own you, because they're gonna be like, oh, I'm not afraid of you. If you're a police officer and you take a knee, you just lost all respect. Oh, I could do whatever I want, because you're just gonna, you're gonna run away while I commit a crime, because you don't want to be on, you know, the news or, you know, whatever. So I got you. You know, when I see the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party take a knee, they owned him. And now you're seeing AOCs and the Kamala Harris and Ilhan Omar come out of her face that we need to take down the whole system. What? Like, you were given an opportunity. You were a refugee from Somalia, came to this country with open arms, given an education, whatever, got into Congress, first shot, you know, one of the youngest, you know, congresswoman ever. And now you want to dismantle the same, you're saying systematic racism, but if it was systematic racism, you would have never been elected. You are now trying to take away the freedoms of this country because you are a radical, crazy person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the terms because we have a guest. But
say it.
We need a guest more often.
No. She's exactly. Just out of heart in mind. Like, so, how do you, I mean, obviously, you know, we're all conservatives, but like, what, when you see the AOCs and the, you know, the squatter rejects is what I like to call them. Okay. When you see the Suicide Squad up there, the Kamala Harris, the Ilhan Omar, AOC, and whatever the other one is, when you see, especially AOC, like, what do you see when you see AOC? Like, how do you, does she like make you angry? Like, you just want to like choke her out?
Well, first of all, they remind me of my classmates. So, oh, yeah. They absolutely remind me of my classmates. They remind me of my classmates, and I don't have any respect for that person. I have to say person. I think it's a diabolic entity that is fighting against the liberty, freedom. And I have to say that back in 1980, Shining Path used to tell all Peruvians this statement: if you don't think like me, you are against me. Therefore, you must die.
Wow.
That was a statement that they used to tell or remind all of Peruvians back then. Wow. So, and something that I pull out for you guys today is that why I insist about Shining Path is because I identify some key points about what's happening right now here in America. Mm-hmm. This group of people that always felt offended, number one. And number two, they were seeking to take control of people's lives by forcing them to join the group. I know there are many people confused out there, but I'm not trying to excuse them either. But that's one of the psychological things that's going on in the U.S. for people that still, people that don't have the information, 100% of the information. So, Shining Path, there was, back in Peru, we were in a period of time that we were electing a new president. It's quite the same what's happening here in America right now. So
talk about Fujimori?
They were stepping out of Belaunde back then. And we were going through to Fujimori. I think so. And because we were in that situation, the election, we couldn't identify who was the winner. All the electoral votes, all evidence, all material from that election disappear. So
wow,
you guys have to pay a lot of attention. The great possibility that could happen in America under this election. Let me ask you this.
In Peru, do they have the electoral college like they do here?
No, we don't. We don't.
You know, and so this is one of the things I think that's unique. And I don't know many other countries who, I honestly don't know of any other country who has this. And I think that's like a buffer. And like we said last time, I think what ends up happening is, sure, you can win over a state, but right? The country is kind of protected when you have that electoral college, because they, sure, they can cheat in the states that they want, but they can't cheat in all the states. And there's a lot of conservative states out there. And the electoral college offers that kind of a cushion against that type of corruption that not a lot of Latin American countries, they call themselves republics, right? Because they have the same three branch systems, but they don't have all the layers that America has. And I think that's been unique to America. All right. So I'm going to move on to another thing. And this is kind of relative to Latin America as well, because I think this is the greatest response that I've seen against those idiots out there tearing down statues, and in particular statues of Christopher Columbus. And this guy, Michael Knowles, I don't know if you guys follow Michael Knowles, but he's part of the Daily Wire, I believe.
Sounds familiar.
A lot of these organizations, conservative organizations like Turning Point, Daily Wire, they go out to colleges and basically have discussions, you know, with the students. And in this particular instance, there is a student who asks Knowles about some of the statements that Christopher Columbus made, and how can he, quote unquote, support Christopher Columbus? And I haven't seen a better response to this than what Michael Knowles gave. And it's brilliant. So I want to share that.
A time constraint, because I have a lot of things I want to get through, but I'm going to read two quotes and ask how you justify this as, quote, a hero and, quote, one of the greatest men in history, as you said through your
speech. Where are your quotes from?
The quotes are from his journal.
From where?
His journal.
From the Journal of Christopher Columbus.
Yes. Okay. In his journal, he says, quote, "Let us in the name of the Holy Trinity go on sending all the slaves that can be sold." He also says, quote, "The Indians are so naive. I will bring as much gold and slaves as you need." That actually was not in his journal. That was to the court in Madrid.
I assume it wasn't in his journal, because he would be writing to himself. Right. So you're saying Christopher Columbus agreed in a letter to his bosses who were funding his voyage that he would fulfill the terms of his voyage? That's what you're saying? This is some shock.
There's two parts to it. The first one was from his journal, where he quite literally said, "Let us in the name of the Holy Trinity go on sending all the slaves." The second one was to the court in Madrid, appeasing them, saying, "Yes, let's go get all these slaves."
Well, you mentioned in the name of the Holy Trinity, Christopher Columbus baptized many natives. He did it personally. And he obviously was bringing the faith to the New World. You're at a Catholic university. If you believe that the faith is true and good and beautiful, as I do, as all Christians ought to do, then that's a wonderful thing to spread the gospel to people who have never heard it before.
I think you misheard the quote. The last part of the quote.
I don't think I misheard the quote, but you can repeat it if you like.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, what should we do in that name? Go on sending all the slaves that can be sold.
So he sent slaves to the New World. That is true. Back to Spain. That is true. That was part of the deal. And if you listen to my lecture, I'm not sure. I heard your question, but I'm not sure you heard my lecture. He agreed to the encomienda system as a political concession because he was outfoxed by a local mayor named Roldan. This was the cause of much of his consternation in the New World. It's the reason that Bobadilla was able to take over and usurp control from him in the West Indies. This is a political reality. This is not a beautiful thing. It's a terrible thing. Slavery is an awful thing. None of us disagrees with that. But for us now, as people who have benefited, all people of the whole world who have benefited from the greatest country, the most profitable, the most charitable, the most equitable, the most just, the one that allows you to stand there and ask me that question, for us to spit on that man who made all of it possible because he made some moral concessions in order to take the most ambitious voyage at that time in the history of man is so bizarrely ungrateful. It is so ignorant of historical and political realities as to be naive and sophomoric.
My question was, how can you justify calling him a hero? I agree.
I've just justified it. That's my explanation.
I think
you're standing on the shoulders of giants and you think that you're flying, but you're not. We are dwarfs standing on the shoulders of that great man, and we spit down on him in our ingratitude. How pathetic.
Wow.
My God.
Wow. I love that. No, but I want to say this. I want to say this because this is a point that we always make, which is you judge people by the time that they live in, right? For these college Puritans who don't understand that in order to get here, you had to make certain gains towards progress, but that's not enough for them. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, well, you know what? Because they weren't pure, let's destroy everything. How fucking naive. How stupid. And it's brilliant. I love it. I love his response. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, his response was great. And here's the deal, right? In the year 2020, we know slavery is bad. In 1000 BC, 1492 AD, you know, guess what? That was the way of the world. The world ran on slavery because everybody was taking each other over. Even here in this country, you know, we like to say the Native Americans tribes fought tribes. And what they do, they killed those tribes and enslaved the tribes when they won and took their land. So this has been going on for years, up to having slavery abolished in this country and, you know, most of the world, right? So we grew up as a society, as humans. We realized, like, man, this is not the best thing in the world. You know what I mean? It's a really shitty practice, you know? But up until a certain point, to say that the history is completely bullshit because it's wrong. Everybody at some point, every single race or nationality, whatever, at some point, everybody was a slave. Italians, Hispanics, Indians, African-Americans, Russians, Germans, Jews. Everybody. At some point, every part of civilization was enslaved. When the Romans took over all of, you know, Europe and part of Asia, you know, they took those lands over and enslaved them. Alexander the Great and all them, they took lands over, you know, and enslaved the people they captured. You know, I mean, this has been going on. We know now it's not right.
Right.
But that's the way of the world back then.
Yeah, exactly. And
you
make
go
a
back
great...
and say, this guy was a piece of shit. Stop. You're judging the guy based on his character when it was accepted.
Exactly. And to that point is, okay, let's talk about reparations. How far back do you want to go? Yeah, you want to go to the start of history. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupidity. Now, I want to bring Asun back into this because one of the things that I see as a pattern, and I know that this has happened in Latin America, and we're seeing it again, it's systematic, but it's happening. And these are very pertinent or very obvious for those who have fled communism because they've seen it. And it's certain things. And Maximo Alvarez just mentioned it. He talks about, you know what? It wasn't until I read Sal Alinsky that I realized that, hey, this is the direction we're going in, right? Because what are they doing? They're destroying history, statues. They're banning people from attending church. This is what's happening, right? For the COVID, supposedly. And they're getting rid of the police. You know, look at all those Latin American countries who have gotten rid of their police and then established their own law enforcement. I don't want to use the word, for lack of a better term, or a regress towards communism right now happening in America. And a lot of people are blind to the signs. Yet a lot of Latin Americans, especially Latin Americans who have fled socialist countries or communist countries and are now sitting here and they're like, guys, alert, wake up. You know, you got to defend your country. You know, we cannot give ground to these people. And so I want, I'm bringing you in as soon because I know from my experience, from my family's experience, what my mom told me and even, you know, friends and all that, these are signs that we all need to be looking out for.
Right. So very interesting point that you just made it. In the example that I previously mentioned about Shining Path, they started talking the Peruvian government, and the first thing that they work hard was demolishing the police people, and that was the first target. And then after they accomplished that, they move on to attack our navy, and so and on and on and on. That's how they implement their agenda back in Peru. So as you see, you're seeing here in America right now happening. So it's just repeating. They're following the books. They're doing the same thing. What happened back in the Third World, they are doing right now here in America. And what really bothers me is that as much we have good Hispanics talking about the communism problem, I see that many of those Hispanics that left our third world countries are living here, are given the opportunities, they're still backing up communists, joining these organizations, recruiting students in our campuses, and joining the council culture. How they're doing that? I see, for example, just to set example, the Venezuelans people.
Yep.
I love my country. I love Peru. But if we're going to come to America, I'm not going to wear my hat. I'm not going to take my flag. If it's time to defend America, come on, guys. Let's take the American flag out and let's defend this country with the flag. Let's respect this country. Why do we need to wear your hat, your flag? Leave that when you go back home.
Right.
You didn't have enough guts to fight when you were back home. So Oof. Why are you coming here to make this Oof. Show in Oof. America?
I love it.
Why are
I
you doing it. That?
Yes.
So stop the bullshit and Thank let's you. Put things straight. If you don't like it, tough. Leave. Because I came here to this country. I came to this country with one mission. And I said that to Tim. If I lose America, I know that I won't see my family ever again. And you know what? I'm not going to allow that to happen. And I don't really care who I'm going to kick their butt, but I'm going to do so. That's good. Very simple.
No, you know what? You know, you bring up a good point as well, because, and this is something that I've told these guys over and over again. And I like that somebody else is making this point, because again, this is a Latin American country that has flirted with socialism and has seen, like, Peru, Guatemala, the same way. You know, that's one of the reasons my family fled, because these countries flirt with these ideas. And then they find themselves, you know, as third world, like you said, countries, because they can't figure it out, because they can't understand, again, that when they flirt with these ideas, all they do is they throw their country back 100 years, and they can't make progress. Because why? Because it's easier to blame somebody for your oppression than to be accountable and say, you know what? This, and like you said, if you are so tough today, waving your flag, and you're so proud of your country, why aren't you there fighting for it?
Right.
Thank you. Right. And so, again, we flee to this country. Let's embrace and let's love this country and let's protect it and let's fight for it. Let's fight for its values, for the things that are going to move us forward.
At least respect this country, you know, at least show a sign of respect. That's the minimum that we can do.
100%. I mean, so my dad's whole family, they took the boat from Italy to America back right after World War II. So my family grew up in, you know, Mussolini, you know, ran Italy, right? So World War II under Mussolini. So they came over after the war, and I'll never forget this. A couple of years ago, me and my dad and one of my buddies, we were driving up to the casino, and my buddy was talking to him about a couple things, you know, just, you know, about life. And he asked him about, like, the Italian flag, and he goes, you know something? He goes, my dad always said, if Italy was so great, we would have never left. And then my dad goes on to say, he goes, this is the only place that a poor boy from Italy can make something of himself. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's the truest statement. That was the whole point of the immigrant dream, was you take the boat, you leave your country, you come to America because, you know what? You can go, you have the pursuit of happiness. This is the only country that guarantees you in writing that you are guaranteed the pursuit of happiness. You're not guaranteed happiness. You're guaranteed the pursuit of happiness. And people forget that because they think happiness is, oh, I get a check. Somebody's handing me money. No. The pursuit of happiness is you go out and build your happiness. If your happiness is living literally in a box on the street, that's your happiness. But for most people, it's not, you know, and people forget that because they think they're owed something, because we grow up in the society of, oh, well, Johnny next to me, his dad is a CEO and he's rich and he gets whatever he wants. And then Joey over here. But for me, my mom and dad, you know, they work two jobs at wherever to make ends meet. And I can't get that. No. They're providing you the opportunity to go get what you want. You know what I mean? And people forgot that because the immigrant dream is not talked about anymore because the country's built. We don't talk about the immigrant journey, right? We talk about, oh, they got to come over here because they need to escape this and escape, but they're not giving them the right tools to do it. They're just pandering them. Oh, come here and you get everything you want. You get the socialism. No. They don't want to come here for that. But if you hand somebody money, you know, most people are going to say, oh, okay, that's great. You know, I'm okay with that because I don't know any better. You know?
So let me ask you, Asun, and before we close out this segment, what message would you give to Latinos, Latinas out there debating on whether or not they can support Trump, right? Because like you said, it's not a popular thing, but I think we're breaking ground. I think a lot of people are starting to wonder. So what message would you give those people who are on the fence because of their long history for the Democratic Party? How would you, what message would you give them to encourage them? You know what? Take a chance. Try this side for once.
I think what I will ask my fellow Hispanics or my Peruvian friends, I like to call them friends because whether we agree or not, there is one middle point for all of us is that I don't have to convince you. You have seen through these years that President Trump has created an excellent economy in the country. And thanks to that economy, we were able to send money to our countries. So that's the one thing that you guys need to remember. If we allow Biden to get elected, you won't have it. The ability to send money to your country. Therefore, your people will die.
Will suffer.
You know, there are many people on I always get crash on Facebook, Peruvians, and they say that they hate President Trump because he hated brown skinned people, because he hates this, because he's this and that. You know, but you don't have to like the guy. I meet several people that I do business with, and I don't like their face. I don't like the way they look. But you know what? I like what they're bringing onto my table. You come on, stop the hypocrisy. You like the money too. So you know what? Give him a chance. Give him a chance. And what is really sad is that you're not really making him a favor. He's making you the favor. He's keeping you here. He's putting money in your pocket.
Yes.
He's putting money. No, once. Every month you have the ability, you have the opportunity to have that money on your pocket. Do you really think with having Michael Obama elected and Biden is gonna help you? Really?
Oh yeah.
You gotta be kidding me, you know? You gotta be kidding me. No, you know, leave your BS bad home and focus on making money. When you have money, you have freedom. You can do whatever you wanna do. But in this election, you better vote for Trump. You better vote for Trump. Otherwise, we will see each other back in the third world country. Yes, a third world country. That's our country because we didn't have enough guts to improve our country. We're right here. We're still here because this country believes in freedom.
I love it. I love 100%. That message. You know what? Because like you're right. If anything else, vote your pocketbook. Vote for what's going to hit you the hardest. And you brought up something right now, because something that people don't mention about this whole COVID shit that is shutting down businesses is that it's a lot of these Latin American countries are taking a hit because of these remittance payments that that families normally would send back to their countries. And I know this is happening. This is happening in Guatemala. I know this. And if it's happening in Guatemala, it's happening everywhere else. And people are saying, hey, you know what? I'm out of a job, man. I can't send money back home. So the damage that we're doing, it's not only hurting America, you know, for these globalists. It's hurting a lot of Latin American countries because the families can no longer send money back. So I love that point that you just made because it's true. If anything else, know that before this whole COVID shit happened, Hispanics, lowest unemployment, every single race, lowest unemployment. And
may I add something in regard of the COVID-19? I think I was infected back in December 2019 on the COVID-19. And I was begging here in DC for help. Nobody seemed to care. And again, let's be honest, we Hispanic have crashed into several type of viruses in our countries. So we can handle those things.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not make a bigger deal that because COVID, there's a COVID. Okay. It's our responsibility to take care of our health. Mm-hmm. If we're living in the US and we have the opportunity to make some money, we go back to our countries and we take care of our health there. We do our checking. Well, that's what I do because here is still, I cannot really afford a health program yet. Mm-hmm. So I go to back to my country and I take care of my health and I come back to the US and I'm still strong. I didn't die. I was back on my feet in two weeks. Mm-hmm. So let's not make a bigger deal of the COVID-19. We know what is this. This is just a strategy to create more problems between us and distract us to what our real agenda is. So
let's keep our
head focused. Let's keep our eyes where we need to be, where we need to keep put our attention.
And that's a good segue into this next topic. And we're gonna talk about the high points on this because, again, this is just developing and this is huge. And I know you haven't heard about this, Jeremy. I don't know if Heidi has. But what is the real stuff that they're trying to distract us from? Because no major news network is reporting this. But the social media sphere is going. It's a feeding frenzy right now. And look, this has gone mainstream. It has, because I'm seeing people talking about the shit that's going on now. But first, I want to show you a video of this girl who, longtime Trump hater, and she posts the video. And I want you to see her reaction first. And then we'll talk about what's happening. Because once you see her reaction, you're like, well, what is she talking about that is flipping her from being a Trump hater to saying, hey, you know what? Something's going on. And let me find this video first. Hold on. With the blue hair, the stereotypical or green hair.
Oh, the typical Antifa
person. And I just want you to hear what she says. Okay.
This might be the hardest pill to swallow of the century. Understand this. I am a registered Democrat. A week ago, I was trolling this man's shit. If you had asked me to spit in his face and piss in his coffee, I would have done it for free. I would have done it for free. So try to imagine what I've seen that would make me flip the switch that hard. You guys know what a double agent is? Have you heard of the phrase, keep your friends close, put your enemies closer? What the news has been burying is that he's actually been talking about going after the human trafficking. Once I realized that the news was actually kind of fake, and Hillary was in fact lying, I had to consider the possibility.
All right. So what makes the stereotypical liberal freaking Antifa warrior question her worldview, because that's what's happening. And I was telling Tim this, man. I'm in the TikTok world right now. I'm being consumed by it. It's just lately in the last 2 weeks. No, I'm being that serious. I'm posting. I'm participating. But I'm seeing more and more of this. Okay, more and more people coming out saying, "Hey guys, something's going on." And now, before, when this was the fringes of the alt-right or the far-right, you know, groups and forums, you know, the 4chans, the 8chans, and, you know, something's happening and people are realizing that there is an underlying current, a shadow government, a deep state that's hiding this shit. And so we're going to get right into it. And did you want to mention something else before we go into this, Tim? Because
we're about to go down the rabbit hole straight Pizzagate, Wayfair Gate.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because there are major social media influencers who have now started posting on this, and when this broke, now there's a lot of speculation on if it was, what was it, Maxwell, whatever her name, Giswell, whatever her name is. Maxwell, whether or not she's the one who's divulging this type of information, that she's now a basically singing a bird that's singing, and she's just bringing everything to light to save herself from the punishment. Now, I'm going to show you this first one, because if you look, I'm not sharing my screen. So, look
props
at this
to
post.
Her for being alive.
Wait. So hold on. Yeah, let's give before we play the video.
Yeah.
So basically, what happened was, it started with a
this
Reddit
video
post.
Explains it. This video sums it up, and so I'm going to show it. So I'm going to and then we'll add to it. But the first thing that I wanted to point out is this is what Instagram is doing to this post. Okay, and this is not just this post. This is everywhere. You know, every person that I'm following that's posting stuff, I'm seeing Instagram or Facebook or Twitter start doing this type of shit. And what does it say? It says, hey, look, we're going to let you view this. However, you should know that this is partly false information. And so you have to click, right? It lets you click on CY, and it takes, we'll go to the fact checking because it's a fact checking. But let's look at the post first. Okay.
So we're going to go to trending here. Wayfair, 176,000 people talking about it. What are they talking about? They're talking about this. Before we go there, here's a history for Wayfair. From last year, they had an issue where employees planned Wednesday walkout after learning they are making beds from migrant detention centers. We know where most of the kids who get trafficked are found. They're found in the detention centers. So that is a red flag right there, a bloody glove, whatever you want to call it. Darian found this. See that cabinet? Keep a note of that. Samaya cabinet. $13,000 for that cabinet. What these people do, I'll tell you in a second. Samaya is a girl that actually went missing not too long ago, just months ago, and in Ohio. What they do is when they're selling these children on these sites, they hide it, and they make astronomical prices for cheap goods, and they change the names, exactly like you're seeing here. Same cabinet, different name, different price. How's that possible? Yuritsa storage cabinet. Yuritsa is also someone, as she dug, 16-year-old girl who went missing on June 10th, 2020. This could be coincidence, but seems a little odd. Annabelle Wilson went missing May 13th, 2020. She's 14 years old. And we have a cabinet here called Annabelle 5, $10,899 for what appears to be a shitty cabinet. Same cabinet as the first two. Kyla, different name, different price. And when we dig here, Kyla went missing January 25th, 2020 in Ohio, which is the same as the first one. Now we will go to Explore. We did that. We'll go to Wayfair. We got about a minute left. So if we go to Wayfair here, you can see them on Wayfair's website. I've been squatting on this page for 2.5 hours trying to catch the price changes, and I just caught it. So I'm not refreshing or doing anything with this. First pillow. Forget cabinets. A fucking pillow for $10,000. Really? And guess who it's by? Ellen DeGeneres. None other. So we go here. Ellen's price is still the same. She's holding strong at $10,000. This is probably still a kid. Now we go to the other ones, though. We're going to watch these prices drop right before our eyes. $10,000. Twitter went nuts. They started trending. Now the pillow is $47. This is what Anons do. And if you go to the next one here, $10,000. Now this one's $46.99. Go to the next one here, the Gianna pillow. This one's $10,000. Price dropped to $46.99. This is basically all dropping because people are exposing them. These people.
All right. So just to summarize for you, if this went too quickly for you, the theory is, or I mean, this is looking more and more like this is real, dude. So I want to go first before we dive into that. What is this fact checking doing, right? Why was this post fact checked by Instagram, right? And okay, well, let's look at what they said. Okay, where's fact check these? Oh goddamn! Hold on, is it this one? All right, I'm gonna click on it. Now, obviously, it's basically what the guy just said, right? That they're these cabinets that sell. Now, Jeremy, I'm going to ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Do you see anything? Why would a cabinet, an industrial cabinet is what they're calling it, sell for $14,000? We're in the wrong line of business. We're in the wrong line of business, guys. Yeah. We got to be making fucking cabinets because $14,000 for a fucking cabinet.
Yeah, you can go to Home Depot and get that exact same cabinet for $150. I don't know why they needed to add a couple extra zeros onto the end of
it. Or maybe $2,000.
No, not even that much, man. No, it's a shitty cabinet, like he said.
I'm just saying. Exactly. So here's my thing, dude. So you know what the fact checking, without reading the whole thing, you know what their conclusion is? Oh, well, we checked. We talked to Wayfair, and Wayfair said that they just made a mistake. Then they went and corrected the prices.
Okay.
That was their fact check. that they're leaving it to Wayfair to explain this. To me, dude, this is the, you didn't do enough digging. You didn't even investigate. You just took their word for it. And so before this blew up, right, because Reddit was the first place that this just went. And people started doing, there's a ton of videos of people who are on their website doing this exact same thing. They're going in, diving in and saying, oh, shit, there's a $12,000 cabinet, $10,000 pillow. We need to start a pillow business, guys. Shit.
Can we?
Now, not even a day had gone by before they started doing this PR cleanup, this Wayfair. And again, no investigation. Let me go to another one. Because there's more evidence to this. Okay. And again, this, we're just skimming the surface of this. And maybe in later episodes, we might dive into this. Because there's a lot of videos. And let me show you this one other one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Look at this pillow. Just a regular ass pillow. $46.99. Now, if they weren't sex trafficking,
just changed.
Why the fuck is the price of a pillow for a name Veronica $10,000 from $46.99?
Show another name.
Let's look up Sarah. Sarah's gonna cost you $10,000 too. Ashley, $10,000.
Same pillow.
It's not no glitch in the system.
Right, that's crazy.
It's really not.
Yeah, like Tim says, it's the same pillow. And I'm just gonna show you one more, again, because there's tons of videos of this. When this shit broke up, this was trending on Twitter. Okay, here's another one.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a lot of people. These aren't, and the fact that the news media is not reporting this should tell us something. Okay, because again, look, I'm all about logic, and what this shit is too weird for me.
I see this one of a kind Turkish hand knotted thing. Now I see a lot of people talking about this online, so I decided to check it out. And I see this rug for $115,000. Go to add to cart. Continue to cart. Then I press proceed to checkout. Now, mind you, I didn't put anything yet. Now, this thing is saying billing address Mary Marai C. That's not even my name. Maryic. So now that's really weird. So I'm gonna go to missing child and I'm gonna type in her name. Maryic. Maria. I guess.
Oh,
geez. Now press search. And look. Mary Cruz. Hold on. That's so freaking scary, man.
Again, this is look, we watched the QAnon video, and one of the things they said, how many coincidences have to happen before you realize that there's something insidious going on? And to me, it's fucking weird. Now there was another video and I couldn't find it for the show. However, I do remember that there was this thing and let me show you guys what, if I look up the word waif, okay. What does waif mean? WAIF, a homeless, neglected or abandoned person, especially a child. And if you combine waif and fair, whether it's a fair FAIR, which is a bunch of children or fair for money. You know what I mean? And so you again, coincidence? Maybe. And so there are videos of pictures of the CEO or the owner of Wayfair. It very close ties with guess who? Epstein and Maxwell and all those people. It's fucking weird, dude. Now, again, I try to avoid conspiracy theories, but this has gone mainstream. Again, And that's before Twitter starting trying to quell the censor. Exactly. They took it off the trending list, dude. This is fucking weird, man. And again, we got to ask ourselves, Is there any legitimacy to this? And look, that day when this broke out, I like I was telling Tim, man, I was on the wafer site, and I'm like losing my mind.
Dude, this dude was losing his mind. He was, but it's funny because I saw a similar video to this where one of the person, like a missing child, his name was Precious Miller. And what happened was they clicked on the thing. It was like a Precious something. They clicked on it and the name automatically populated Precious Miller in Wayfair. So either somebody at Wayfair exposed this shit or again, Gaylene maybe gave them a back door so that people can see it for themselves. Because I will always bring this up because it is kind of ironic that back in 2018, I said this a couple of weeks ago when we did our Q show, that Trump signed an executive order allowing citizens to help in investigate, help police in investigations. And digital warfare is helping in investigations, especially if you're doing human trafficking. You're not seeing a human, you know, a person walking, you know, 500 kids just in the middle of the street. You know what I mean? This is dark web shit. So
this, and dude, the fact that he's, they're hiding in plain sight.
Plain sight. That's what I'm saying. So now
weird.
You got all these people saying that the QAnons and that, look, everybody discredited Pizzagate in 2016 when this broke, when, right. You know, people from OAN, you know, people that are associated with OAN and the QAnons, and this was big. Comet Pizza, all this crap. But the reason why I'm going to say this is much bigger than a presidency, something breaking just happened right now. Not, you know, major, like not like, you know, in the Fed, but a lawyer that was working on a big lawsuit against CPS in California today was murdered.
It's a lot of weird shit, man. Okay? I'm telling you.
Big case. Every person, and even and you see these little deaths associated with this. There was like a whistleblower in California that literally just died a couple months ago, that had ties to the Epstein Clinton bullshit.
He got Clinton'd.
Yeah. Dude, this is huge.
I'm gonna show you a video of an artist who, oh my God, what was his name? Vici. Now this guy supposedly committed suicide. Okay. Now the news media came out saying this guy came out committed suicide, but I'm going to show you a video that he made, okay? And all his fans are saying this guy did not commit suicide. You know, everybody around him saying this guy did not commit suicide, but the official report is this guy committed suicide. And I'm going to show you a music video that he made back in 2015. And again, how many coincidences? Before this is not a coincidence anymore.
Well, they referenced this in the fall of the cabal with Avicii.
But let's watch this video because this guy supposedly committed suicide. Yeah. Pedophile, that's what he said. Yeah. What's crazy again is that supposedly this guy committed suicide. Now, was he trying to send us a message? You know. Yeah. And
somebody said that somebody was saying that Justin Bieber has a music video mm-hmm. out that ties to the Pizzagate thing. And but the way the video goes, they said that he's one of the children that was abused in the circle. Really?
Well, think about Bieber. Bieber was a kid that broke into the music industry. Right. And you hear the Corey Haynes and Bieber's a fucked up kid now. You know what I mean?
He wasn't.
He went on his little fucked up shit for a while. You know what I'm saying? But look at the one kid who was it? Not Macaulay Culkin.
Corey Haim.
No. There was kid that they said in the QAnon that was the parents did not allow them to go to the Hollywood movie. That's why he didn't grow up messed up.
Oh.
He's one of the famous kid actors. I forget who it was. But if people say this doesn't exist and it's not happening right in front of our face and we're seeing it unravel right now, you're crazy. Sorry.
Right.
Yep. If you think that the people that have been in government that write the rules to allow shit to happen or got your best interests, like the Maxine Waters and the Pelosi's and the Schiff's, there's a reason why they all hate Donald Trump. There is a major reason why every news outlet that is controlled by the Soros's and the deep money and all the, there's something bigger going on that one guy can't be this hated. I've never seen one person in this country's history hated as much as Donald Trump is. That means he's doing his job. He's exposing. He's people are unraveling at the seams
right
now.
Right.
And now that they got this broad dude, Maxwell, I just read an article. They're moving her cell to cell to make sure nobody can get to her.
They
are literally doing.
They like, need to because
military move.
Because, you know, a big guy like Epstein, just your cameras weren't working. You commit suicide. No, nah, dude, there is people entrenched that are in power. And one of those things, one of the things that girl said in that video, I mean, I know it went by quickly, but she said, what better person to disclose this than somebody who was in that? And that could be possibly Trump, that possibly Trump knows about this stuff and that he's out, you know, that he said, you know what? I'm going to fucking break this shit. Fall of the cabal, basically. I know we're going into a lot of conspiracy theory. We're diving into crazy shit. But again, this has gone mainstream. The fact that, again, Wayfair was trending 175,000 posts before Twitter started, you know, removing it.
Shadow,
you know, should tell us something. Again, the question, how many times, how many coincidences before this becomes a reality? Go ahead.
Exactly. So, hey, Asun, so from, you know, I know you just sent us a video from Facebook, basically about human trafficking in Peru. Can you give it?
Yeah, sure. Saul can check that about to verify information that I'm telling you right now is that this indigenous people, they were claiming that some crazy lights appear in their town. And they were telling that to the reporter that some white tall guys, blue eyes were chasing them. And then they escaped. And so they were talking to the reporter that then often these entities or persons just show up and this entity seems to have like a shape of big big drums following them in their communities. And then they were later on, they were finding the bodies of these people without the fat of the human being and no kidney, no liver. So
wow.
This was a trend in Spanish that the local people called these people pelacaras. So they were taking all the skin out of their bodies, taking the fat, liver, and no kidneys. And as you guys were talking about this cases of children, back in June 12, 2009, Hillary Clinton wrote a letter to our government in Peru in regard to the case of the Bagua. The Bagua case was a area where you can find a lot of the gold and also a lot of the child trafficking. And it's so interesting to me that she put her nose into that area because the gold, of course, we know that the gold was sold. We couldn't help the indigenous people that were asking to the Peruvian government to get some kind of deal to keep their area where they can live and survive. But nobody talk about the thousands of kids that were missing. And it's so funny that I can send you the PDF.
Yeah.
That Hillary Clinton was calling the Peruvian government, hey, do something for your children. Come on, Hillary Clinton. Why are you putting your nose in my country?
Exactly. You
know, God knows where those children ended.
And on that note, this is another thing that, again, is it coincidence or is it not? Because remember the Clinton Foundation was so eager to help in the Haiti. What was it? A hurricane that hit Haiti or was it an earthquake? Well, I don't remember what was an earthquake. It was an earthquake, a catastrophe that happened. And so the Clinton Foundation was heading this to help out those people. And a lot of Haitians were out there protesting and saying, hey, we never saw any of this money. And so, but here's another interesting fact. Did you know that Haiti is the child trafficking capital of the world? Again,
right.
Was there's it a before lot of or after the Clinton Foundation got involved?
Exactly. There's a lot of overlap, and you're like, this is weird. Now we can say, hey, it's coincidence. Again, the question is, how many coincidences before we start saying something is going on, guys? And I think I think collectively society is, and again, because this has become now mainstream. Before this was on the fringes. Before this was the QAnons. Before this was, now we're seeing leftists say, wait a minute, this is weird. And then they went themselves and checked on Wayfair and saw the names. And Wayfair comes out and says, oh, that's weird because we didn't mean that. Haha, etch a sketch. It's gone.
What is the name of the singer that you just showed on the video?
His name is
Avicii.
Avicii.
He was in my city last year.
Yeah, Avicii. And
he was.
I don't
there,
know when he died.
They say that he died in my city. I don't know if that's true or not. But we have received thousands of these famous people. Even the song of Prince Diana, we receive a lot of the people back into the jungle.
Yeah, he died in 2018. Amazon.
And these people visit a lot of the Amazon because they're a lot of sex.
I'm looking.
They get involved with a lot of the nasty things over there, and our administration don't care.
He was found dead in Muscat, Oman. So somewhere.
Yeah. And another thing that I would like to mention is that all these Hollywood people also visit the Nero was in Iquitos too. I don't know what the heck he was doing there, but anyway, and some of them go there and drink ayahuasca to try and find themselves into the light and other things. But anyway, I think it's more than ayahuasca going on there.
Oh yeah, so. Definitely. All right, folks, I think we have inundated the audience with a lot of information. This is a great episode. Asuna, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Hey, do you have any websites or anything you want to promote that you're a part of? Any businesses or anything or organizations that you're a part of?
Oh no, you can follow me on my Instagram under Asun Benninger, and I'm here in the U.S. to help the Republican Party. And I just would like to encourage all the young people to join in this election, and especially Hispanics. If they don't call you, they don't get over you, you know what? Get out of your bed, go knock their doors and get involved with them. That's what we need. Exactly. We need people that really want to help. When it doesn't matter how many doors you knock. It doesn't matter if they don't pay us, because what really matters is that we win this election. Let's get together. Let's unify, and the way we can do it is helping each other. So thank you guys for inviting me, having me today here. It was a very good experience.
Definitely. All right, folks, for anybody who wants to find Asun, you can find her on Instagram. It's Asun Benninger. It's Asun Benninger. All right, so we're going to leave it there. Thank you for listening. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And now I'm about to be TikTok famous before they bring it down. I'm on TikTok, folks. Find me on Real Salty. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.